Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory because you're worthy to be praised, honored, and glorified. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, towards us and your mercies, Lord, that are new every morning and that endure forever. Lord, I commit this lesson to you. I ask, Lord, that you will be my mouthpiece, Lord. Speak through me. Let your will and your purposes, Lord, be done through this lesson. Lord, for those who are listening on the internet, Lord, I pray that this lesson, Lord, oh God, would touch someone, Lord, who is seeking, someone who doesn't really know how to pray, or whether you really hear them when they pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that this lesson, Lord, would be a blessing and an encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing the lesson from last week, Victory Through Prayer. Now, anytime I have to teach, depending, you know, on most times on what the subject is, it seems like my antennas go out. Has it ever happened to you? And you're listening, you somehow become sensitive. Your ears somehow become supercharged, and you can just hear, you know, whatever what the Holy Spirit is saying. So last week I kind of wrestled with the lesson because I wasn't sure whether that was the direction God wanted me to go. And Pastor asked me to continue this week, so I knew what I was supposed to be teaching. But isn't it just like the enemy to come and try to get you confused, you know? So this morning, I'm cleaning the bathtub, and I before I got into the bathroom, I turned the TV on, and lately I've not been watching, the usual people that I watch on TV. I've been watching Come Home with, I think her name is Jan Mallon or something. But for some reason, Rick Renner was on this morning, but I didn't have time to watch him because I wanted to clean the bathroom. So I cleaned the bathroom, and then I got out, and Rick was on. And what is he talking about? Prayer. Oh my God, it was so rich, and it was so interesting. I sat there and I started scribbling notes down, you know how you do. Then I couldn't write fast enough, so I had the brilliant idea to record it. And then he was, you know, promoting this book about prayer, and I decided I gotta get this book. So I ordered the book, and guys, I've already decided I'm gonna be teaching from that book next week. Amen. So you all come prepared to get some real meat, okay? But tonight, I'm continuing on prayer. So yesterday, I'm walking my son's dog, Abby, and usually when I'm walking the dog, you know, that's a really good time to pray. You can get in a lot of praying time. I usually try to do a little over a mile. And so I was praying for a host of different things, and I found myself praying for this one particular person, and I activated Psalms 91 over this person. I was praying Psalms 91 over this person, and then suddenly I just knew that's the way you have to go, you know, for the lesson tonight. And what I really want to say is I'm going to endeavor to show you how you can pray God's word. I think I touched a little bit of it last week. But you know, sometimes we face such complex situations, whether it's something personal or a family member or whatever it is, and we're just totally lost. We don't know how to pray. I'm sure you can relate. Or someone may call you with a situation and you feel bad for them and you want to pray, but you just don't know how to pray. And you know, praying in the Spirit is a good way, great way, because It's just the Spirit, the Holy Spirit praying, and the Holy Spirit knows, the Bible said, knows the mind of Christ. Uh-huh. He knows exactly what button to touch, uh-huh. you know. And so you can pray the perfect prayer and don't even know what you prayed.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Several years ago, I was sleeping, and I sensed in my sleep, I felt the Holy Spirit came on me. And I just started praying. I was praying in tongues, praying. And I knew that my prayer, that God was listening, that he was hearing, that he was consenting to what I was praying. I could feel the prayers going through. I mean, it was the best prayer I have ever prayed in my entire life. I don't know who I was praying for. I don't know what the situation was, but I knew that God had answered. And, you know, over the years, I've tried to replicate that same situation. If you ever tried to do that, you know, you try, but it doesn't work. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to show up when he wants to show up. And a lot of times I say, Lord, I sure wish he would show up and, you know, and help me to pray for this particular thing like I prayed that night. But, you know, God knows everything. Whoever that person was, if it was a person, they were in some dire straits, that much I can tell. And God had me to intercede for that person. Well, you know, we don't, even though praying in the tongue is great and wonderful, you know, we cannot go around praying in tongues. Sometimes, you know, we have to pray things through in our natural language.
That's right.
And when we're lost, and we don't know how to pray, how do I pray for this person? I have personally discovered, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me, but there are some of you who may not know how to do this. So I'm going to try to show you how I do it. You know, praying God's word. Now, we can never go wrong praying God's word.
That's right.
God's word is God's word. It's true. We can take it to the bank. Now, he may not answer it in our timing. Sometimes I wish he would hurry up certain things, you know. But, you know, we all know what he said, a day is as 1,000 years with him and 1,000 years is as a day. And so sometimes, you know, when I'm praying about something and I'm asking the Lord to move in this situation, and I would ask him, now, Lord, you know, is this going to be one of those situations where 1,000 days like a year, and a year is like 1,000 days? Can you answer it in our time here, earthly time, 24 hours? Because, you know, sometimes we, you know, God does not answer. He doesn't move in our timing. And, you know, we have to wait things out. I'm going to touch on that a little more. But we can have confidence when we pray God's word that the answer will come, because God honors his word. So before I get ahead of myself, let's begin in Isaiah 43:22. God says, put me in remembrance. This is the King James Version. Let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. The New King James Version says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. See, God, you know, we don't have to be afraid to talk to God about whatever it is that, you know, that we're facing, whatever is troubling us. You know, he's not some, you know, God on a throne with a stern face and a big stick, just, you know, waiting to whack us over the head, you know? He's a God of love and mercy and compassion. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. Matter of fact, he knows all of our thoughts even before we think it. So, you know, we can be honest. We can be an open book. When I was coming here, I was talking to the Lord about some things, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm an open book before you. You know, just, you know, go through, do whatever you have to do, but just fix certain things that I need fixed in my life. And so, you know, God says, remind me. He says, let us contend, state your case that you may be acquitted. The word acquit means not guilty. You know, we have an enemy, Satan. And he is always accusing us.
That's
before God. I mean, I don't know how he does it with so many people on the face of the earth. You know, he has time to go and accuse us. But he did it during the time of Job. He went and God said, where have you come from? And he said, from walking to and fro and up and down in the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, you know, it's only because you have a hedge around him and you bless him, you know, but remove the hedge and see with a curse to your face. You know? He's always accusing us. One time the Lord gave me a dream. I believe the Lord gave me this dream, and it was like I was standing before a judge, and I couldn't see the judge, but I knew it. I was like in a court case setting, and I was being accused, and the list was this long. And I woke up and I thought, oh my God, what's going on? He was up there accusing me. He accuses us, each and every single one of us. But God has given us the opportunity. We can go before him and we can state our case. You know, God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear what we have to say. And he said, you know, remind me, put me in remembrance. The American Standard Version says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Set forth thy cause that thou mayest be justified. See, God doesn't just take the word of the enemy. Uh-huh. He wants to hear from his children. Uh-huh. He wants to hear from us. Uh-huh. You know, what do you have to say, Deborah? State your case. What do you have to say, Tanya? What do you have to say, Carlo? You know, state your case. Talk to me. God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear what we have to say, why we did what we did, why we saw this thing the way we saw it. He's the righteous judge, and he'll make a righteous judgment. The Berean Study Bible says, remind me, let us argue the matter together. Have you ever argued with God? I've argued with God quite a few times. To my detriment, I've always lost the argument. You never win an argument against God, so you may as well just give up and do whatever you know he's telling you to do. A couple years ago, I was telling somebody else, I think they were relatives, and the grandmother was praying for them, and the cousin said, look, you're not going to win. God is going to hear her, so you may as well just give up. Don't argue, don't be stubborn, give up. Because God is going to hear her. And then in my own life, I overheard, Matthew didn't know that I was listening. He was talking to his sister. I don't know what they were talking about. But I heard him telling her, don't tell mom because she's going to go and start praying. See, God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from moms. He wants to hear from dads. He wants to hear from grandparents. And that made me kind of feel good when I heard Matt say, you know, because I remember one time, you know, before he went to the Marines, when he graduated high school, him and his buddies had this brilliant idea to go to Florida. And I did not feel good about that trip. I hated it. But, you know, when these kids graduate, they think they're adults. They can do what they want. So I didn't argue with him, but I started praying. Boy, did I pray. And so we had something to do up at the church, and we came to us intercessors. I think it was a Passover offering, or not Passover. It was some kind of an offering. And I got home, and as soon as I entered the door, Matt came running, and he said, guess what, Mom? Guess what? I have to be in the Marines Sunday. You have to take me to Auburn. So he was scheduled to go for weeks. And I said, what happened? And he said, the guy before him, you know, something suddenly happened with his security clearance. So they went down the list and they phoned him. That was the end of that trip. So, you know, I was happy. I wanted to do my little, you know, cartwheels, but common sense kicked in, so I didn't bother. So Matt, I think Matt had that in the back of his head because he knew that I didn't want him to go on the trip and I prayed, right? So he was telling Pat, don't tell Mom because she'll start praying. You know, God wants to hear from us. I said all that to say that God wants to hear from his children. He wants to hear from his sons and daughters. You know, we don't have to be afraid to go and remind God of what he said, because he says to remind him, put me in remembrance. This is the Berean thing. He said, let us argue the matter. State your case that you may be vindicated. The Douay Rheims Bible. Put me in remembrance and let us plead together. Tell if you have anything to justify yourself. God wants to rule in our favor. Because he loves us. He's on our side. He wants to back us up, but we have to speak. We have to state our case. We have to present ourselves. I mean, Satan does it. He goes and he presents himself before the sons of God. So why are the children of God absent? You know? Moving on. Now, it's not that God has forgotten what his word says. God does not forget. He doesn't have a short memory. He knows exactly what he said, but he wants us to know what he said. Uh-huh. That's why he said, remind me. Uh-huh. You know, what did I say again? Uh-huh. You know, sometimes the teacher will ask you, what did I say? They're testing to see if you're listening. Huh? When God says, remind me, put me in remembrance, God wants to know. God wants us to know what his word says. And so if we're going to remind God of what he says, we have to know what his word says, don't we? We have to know what it says. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland several years ago, and he was teaching along these lines about praying God's word. And he said, if you can't remember, what God said, Google it, find it in your Bible, and hold your Bible up and say, Lord, look, right here, you said this. I mean, how can God not honor his word? You know, in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, he says, my word that goes forth out of my mouth will not return void. Well, I'm going to read reading verse 10. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing for which I sent it. Have you ever seen the rain, when the rain is falling, have you ever seen it suddenly stop and go back up to the sky? That doesn't happen, does it? It may stop, but it doesn't return back to the heavens, right? God says his word is like that. There's a purpose. When he sends the rain, it comes for a purpose, to water the earth, to cause it to bring forth fruit so that we can eat. When God gives us his word, he gives it for a purpose. He wants us to know what his word said. His word is to feed us. His word is to encourage us. His word is to strengthen us. You know, and he doesn't take it back. There's a scripture that says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Even when we mess up, God does not take back his gifts. You know, he's not like us, we or some kids, they get mad with each other and they want to take back their stuff. When God gives us something, he gives it to us. When he sends his word, he's not taking it back. His word, he says, is going to accomplish that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing where he sent it. So, when we remind God of his word, when we pray or pray his word back to him, God wants to hear. God wants us to hear. He wants us to say what his word says. You know, Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, what is it? Good or evil? You will eat the fruit of it. When we speak God's word, there's power in God's word. And God's word is going to bring forth fruit. And we are going to eat the fruit. God wants to feed us. God wants to strengthen us. We're strengthened when we read God's word. You know, we can be in a sad situation where we feel depressed or hopeless or whatever. And, we begin to read God's word. My mom used to read, I think the book of Psalms was her favorite book in the whole Bible. And I learned Psalms 1 from hearing her say it. She would just wake up in the morning and she would either burst into song, you know, back in the days it was hymns. She would be singing all these different hymns, or she would just start saying Psalms 1. And I wasn't planning on memorizing it. But you know, when you hear something and you hear it and you hear it and you hear it, it sticks with you. And so I learned Psalms 1 without even lifting a finger from her. You know, that's what God's word will do for you. It will engraft itself in you and it will help you. Sometimes you'll find a word coming out of you, flowing out of you that you didn't even know that you knew. You'll quote a scripture and then you'll catch yourself, I didn't know I knew that. Where did it? Why? Because we heard it. It was put, we put it into us, or we heard it somewhere. That's what God's word does. And when you need it, when you're in a situation that you need it, the Holy Spirit will reach out and pull it right out. And you'll speak it. It will come out. And when you speak God's word, there's something about speaking. When you speak the word of God, that's why we have to be careful what we say.
That's right.
Because words are powerful. And so when God says, remind me, put me in remembrance, he wants us to speak out of our mouth his word. Because, you know, when the word comes out of us, it gets into the atmosphere and it does something. I think it makes the kingdom of darkness shake. There's power in God's word. And that's why it's so important for us to read the word, to know what God's word says. You know, so many times we don't really know what the word says. You know, myself included, there are times when I'm reading the word and the Holy Spirit will highlight a certain scripture to me. And I'm amazed. How come I never saw this before? You know, it's not that I never saw it. I saw it, but yet I didn't see it, if you know what I mean. But the Holy Spirit will highlight it to you because you need it at that particular time. And so God's, you know, God is saying, remind me, tell me what my word says. So, you know, I'm walking and I'm praying for this person and I found myself activating Psalms 91 over them. And I'm praying for them through Psalms 91. The first verse in Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I said, Father, help this person. Help them to abide. Help them to live. Help them. They don't know. They don't have the desire. And then, you know, I remembered back in the day when the children of Israel came out of they came out of Egypt, and God had given Moses the plan to build a tabernacle. They didn't know how to do any of this stuff. But God, the Bible says, God put it in their hearts. They had to make all these bells and pomegranates and all this stuff. They didn't know how to do any of that. But God gave them the wisdom. He gave them the wisdom to know how to do it. When I got my first job, I used to work in a lab back home. And the first day on the job, the senior technician threw a question at me. And I was totally caught off guard. You know, your first day on the job, you're nervous and everything. And she threw this question at me, and it was a chemistry, and I hate chemistry. But she threw this question at me. And before I could even think, the Holy Spirit gave me the answer, and I blurted it out, 50. And when I blurted out 50, she hadn't even completed the question. She could have gone either way. And she was so stunned. And I remember standing there and looking at her, and she just looked at me like, are you a mind reader or something? The Holy Spirit gave me the answer. Thank God he gave me the answer. I don't know if I would have known it. But God will empower us. He will give us, you know, the ability, what we need. He will help us. That's how God is, right? And so, you know, I said, Lord, you know, help this person. Help them to abide. Help them to live, you know, help them to dwell in that secret place so that they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, verse 2. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. So as I was praying for this person, and I got to this verse here that says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, I remember growing up, my mom raised chickens. Americans say chickens, we say fowls. They were free running. And, you know, the mother hen, she would lay her eggs, maybe 12, 14 eggs. And then when you see her disappear, sometimes we're looking, where's this particular hen? She, you know, she had laid her eggs in a particular place, and she would sit on those eggs for about 3 weeks, I think, or 2 weeks, I don't know. And then the chickens would hatch. Sometimes I would go poking around and I'd find her, you know, and I would go to see when are these chickens are coming out, you know. And sometimes I'd try to help the thing, the process out, and crack the egg. I was terrible. I wasn't helping the chickens. I mean, they had to peck their way out because that's how they got strong, right? You know, when we go through trials and tribulations, a lot of times it is in those trials and that we become strong. It's in those trials and tribulations that we learn to trust God. And so the chickens would be hatched, and she would be walking with her chicks. You know, she'd have like 12 chicks around her. And, you know, she'd be clucking. And then at some point in time, you know, after they run around and stuff, and I guess she figured they're tired, she would just spread her wings like this. And all those 12 chickens would just go under her wings, under her feathers. And I was always amazed, how is she able to cover all those chickens? But she did, you know? And every now and then a nosy chick would stick his head out, you know, I guess, to see what's going on. But she would cover those chickens. She protected them. You know, God is like that. Yes. He will cover us under his wings. But we have to abide. And, you know, and we have to trust. And he said, his truth shall be our shield and buckler. help me, Holy Spirit. And so as I prayed for this person, I said, Lord, you know, as they abide, as you draw them to you, and as they abide, they begin to abide, they begin to live, you know, they begin to dwell under your feathers, they begin to dwell under your wings. Help them to see that your truth is their shield and buckler. Reveal yourself through this, you know. Sometimes you have to help people. Sometimes you have to give people a little push. Yeah. We all need a little push. You know, and so I was praying for this person, and I said, you know, they shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, because, Lord, you are covering them. They're hiding under your wings. You see how I'm applying the word for this particular person? You know, they had no idea I was praying this for them, but I believe God answered that prayer. And so, you know, when we activate God's word, when we use God's word, that's how we can, you know, we can make God's word personal. We can personalize it either for ourselves or for that other person. Put their name into that verse and pray God's word over them. You know, 1,000 will fall at so-and-so's side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it will not come near them. Only with their eyes will they behold and see the reward of the wicked. Lord, you know, stretch out your hands, show yourself strong and mighty. You know, give your angels charge over them. Give your angels charge over so and so. And you name the person, you know, and so you activate that word. Sometimes when someone asks me to pray for someone who needs healing or something, I remembered one Sunday morning, pastor said that God had given him Psalms 107:20. It just stuck with me for some reason, because I went home and checked it out, and I think it was Bean was in the hospital and he was having a really rough time, and we prayed for him that Sunday morning. And you know, I find myself, you know, I love Isaiah 53:5. You know, for he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I will say, Lord, I'm activating this word right here in Psalms 53:5, and I'm sending it to so-and-so. And according to your word in Psalms 107:20, this word, this word, and then I say the word again, by the stripes of Jesus, so-and-so is healed. Yes. By the stripes of Jesus, Sandy is healed. By the stripes of Jesus, Debbie is healed. By the stripes of Jesus. And I said, this word, Lord, heals them and delivers them from their destruction according to your word here. Now it's God's word. You see how I pray it? His word. You know, sometimes we tend to make things complicated, us human beings. I don't know what's wrong with us. we like complications. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is an amazing teacher. And I think I shared last week how, you know, one morning I was just saying some confessions. And the Holy Spirit said, when I was saying, you know, I am what the word says I am. And the Holy Spirit interjected and says, what does the word say you are? You see, he just opened it up to me. He was teaching me not to just say it like that. You know, I'm a believer, not a doubter. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am not moved by what I see, but I am moved by the word of God. Well, what does the word say? We have to say what the word say. The word says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The word says that I am more than a conqueror. The word says, you know, what's the scripture? I'm blank, you know? You know, that I am more than a conqueror. He says that I will tread upon the lion and the adder. Is not what he said. He said that he'll give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. We begin to quote, we begin to say what the word says. I believe that was the first time, you know, that I began to really see how to use God's word in my prayer. And we can do the same thing for people or anything that we're facing. When we're stumped or we don't know what to say, we're blanking out like I did just now. You know, we can't think, we can't remember. We don't know how to articulate, you know, our own words. Say God's words. Pray God's word. We could never go wrong praying God's word. First Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking like a roaring lion for someone to devour. When the devil, he can't devour at will. He has to find that one person who is separated from the flock, that one person who is not speaking God's word, that one person who doesn't know God's word. You know, that one person that just think they can do it on their own. I shared a while back about the chicken hawk. The mother hen had these chickens, you know, and she was walking and all the rest of the chicks were with her, but this one little chick lagged behind. And the hawk swooped down, you know, and grabbed it in his tentacles and flew up back. I mean, it was a fight. It was a big fight. Stunned me. There was feathers flying everywhere, dust, a bunch of noise. And I didn't know what was going on until the dust cleared. And I saw the hawk soaring up into the coconut tree with this poor chick in its feet. Why was he able to do that? Because the chick wasn't with the mother hen. So when we don't stay under God's protective care,
amen,
the enemy is prowling, he's looking. And that's why we have to keep speaking God's word, praying God's word over our children, our grandchildren, you know, our friends, our church family. We pray God's word so that God's word will be a wall around them to protect them. You know, just in case they stray, like that one chicken, they lag behind, the enemy wouldn't be able to come and, you know, and devour them. So God's word is, the Bible said it's quick, it's what? It's powerful, it's sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. I've never seen a two-edged sword in real life, but I've seen pictures of it. That's a dangerous sword. Whichever way you wield it, you can hurt some people because it has two edges. The enemy is afraid of God's word. It's a two-edged sword. And when we use that sword, when the enemy comes and we begin to pray God's word, that's what we're doing. We're wielding that sword back and forth, back and forth. And he doesn't come near us. You know, he can stay on the outer, you know, circumference there, but he cannot come near us because God's word is quick and it's powerful. It will do some serious damage to him. Now, there is one thing I want to interject a little quick before I close out here. After we've prayed God's word, like I said earlier, sometimes we have to wait a while. And that's the part where most of us fail. We don't like to wait. When I pray, I want it like now. This afternoon, I'm standing in front of the microwave. I put something in there to heat up. And it was only like 30 seconds. 30 lousy seconds. And I'm like, God, hurry up, But sometimes we have to wait. And while we're waiting, we have to be aware that the enemy is going to come and try to put doubt. He's going to come to try and put fear. He's going to try to get us to say things that are contrary to what the word says. We have to be vigilant and not allow that. Because if we keep saying what God doesn't say, what his word doesn't say, we are canceling out the answer to our prayers, quick time. God sends his angel to come and help us. And then we start, just talking negative, and the angel stops. Because they hearken to the voice of his word.
That's right.
So we must be careful to only say what the word says. Uh-huh. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter how we're feeling, let's not give in to our emotions. Develop that bulldog tenacity. You know how bulldogs are? They get hold of something and God help you getting it out of their mouth. We have to get hold of God's word and no matter what the situation says, no matter what our bank account says, no matter what the doctor says, hold on to God's word. Speak it. If we can't remember it, read it. If you don't have a Bible, pull it up on Google. Thank God for Google. Pull it up and read it and speak it. Write it out on 3x5 cards. Set it before our eyes. Hook it up, paste it up on your mirror in your dashboard, in your car, wherever, so you can see it. When the enemy attacks, give him the word. And if he keeps talking, give him some more. Don't quit. Just speak God's word. Pray God's word. And as we do that, as we take our stance and we put our hope and our faith and our trust in God, we will have the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.